hold it.
Hold it.
Okay. Shall we pray? Father, we are so privileged to hear from you. And we pray that what I share today that you've given me would be very personal to each of us, Lord, that you would open our hearts to it and that you would help us to take it to ourselves as coming from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Sorry, this is a very wobbly pulpit. Need a church bulletin under the one leg. Thanks, Alman. Thank you. Lest we get a wobbly message. Okay. So we're in this series at the moment, as Jono mentioned. It's all about me. Me with a capital M, not me with a small m. All about him. And so this morning I want to talk about a daily choice that we all as Christians need to make. And this is the choice. God's agenda for me today, or my agenda for me today. And in particular, I want to relate this to the way we handle people, our attitude to people. Because people are very, very high on God's agenda. And so Jesus gave us two main commandments. He said, love God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Love God and love people. It's that. And in actual fact, it was so well illustrated by Renee's testimony this morning. Do you see the love channel? That's how it's meant to be. And so God gives us that love to love people with. And so we're focusing on the love people, the love your neighbor as you love yourself. Hello? Hello, hello? Lots are back. Okay. So how high are people on your agenda and on my agenda? People are more important than tidiness. People are more important than things. People are more important than schedules and deadlines. If you think of Jesus, when he was on that mission to see Jairus' daughter. Do you remember? The crowds were all with him. It was urgent. She was dying. And some nameless woman touched the hem of his garment that he was wearing. And he stopped. But Jesus, what about your mission for Jairus' daughter? That woman was more important at that moment for Jesus. Because she had value. It wasn't just an important named person who had value, whose daughter was dying, as important and urgent as that was. It was this lady who was so important to Jesus, one individual. And so how high are people on God's agenda? They're right at the top. And you might say, well, it's okay for Jesus, that was his full-time job. You know, I've got all sorts of other things to get on with. I've got my family to look after, I've got my money to earn, I've got this and that and the next thing to do. Okay, we'll carry on recording here. Okay, for Jesus, he had this. It's all right for Jesus because he had this big full-time ministry. That was his work. But he carries on his work through us. We are the channels of his work now on earth to reach people. He's not here in person reaching the lady who had the issue of blood or going to Jairus' daughter or whatever the other needs are. He carries on his work through us. And people out there need salvation. People out there need love. People out there need time. And it might be just a minute of your time that they need. It didn't take long for Jesus to minister to that lady in the crowd. But sometimes we think people are going to take up so much time. I've thought that. But no. People need you, and God will make enough time if he wants you to meet that person's need for you to do so. People need attention. And so just to share briefly the background to this message that I've got now, because I've had it for a long time. Back in January, when Rob and I were in Johannesburg for that course of therapy for Rob, we stayed in Sandton with some friends of ours, an old part of Sandton, and we were thinking, where are we going to go to church? We've got four Sundays. And so we thought, you know, we'd heard of Rosebank Union Church, and we thought we'd love to do that. Rosebank's not far from Sandton. Only to discover that Rosebank Union Church moved from Rosebank to the edge of Sandton, and Sandton Drive was on the corner. And so it took us less time to get from where we lived to Rosebank Union Church than it takes us to get from where we live in Hilton to Crossways Church. It was amazing. There was no traffic on Sunday either, so it was very special. And so it was a very special part of our time in Johannesburg, because we met some old friends that we didn't know went to Rosebank Union Church at Rosebank Union Church. And guess what? They were all in the same home group of that massive church. It was just quite special. And one person we heard about, and through these friends of ours, used to actually be in our church, the Britton family. But we met the rest of the home group in the church cafe after church the second Sunday. And we were chatting, and this one man mentioned that his father had been a Methodist minister. So I thought, well, he looks about my age, this man, you know. Maybe I knew who his father was. So I said, what's your surname? So he said, Young. I said, have you got a brother called Brian? I'm Brian. Well, we never recognized each other. We saw each other back in 1975. I think it was the last time. And immediately he recognized who I was. He started singing, Singaba Hamba Yotina, Gulum Shaba, and Rob joined in. And that was because that was the connection. Way back in those days, we had a huge group of young people from about standard 8 upwards into mid-20s, and right across all the churches. And we used to go out into all the little areas round about King Williamstown, where I was teaching, and minister to those communities in Sunday school. And immediately that connection with Brian Young reminded me of this little group that we used to minister to. It was a little group of colored children. We used to, under these big gum trees outside King Williamstown, community called Breidbach, if you know the place at all. And their favorite song was this one. Jackius was a very little man, and a very little man was he. He climbed up into the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And when the Savior passed that way, he look up into the tree and say, Jackius, come down. I'm coming to your house for tea. And it was such a special memory. And so that was just a very special part of our time there. But a few weeks afterwards, in our quiet time, Rob and I read the story of Zacchaeus, which Daniel read last Sunday. And the Lord began to open it up to me. And so that was in February, and so this message has been cooking in the oven since then. So I want to share it with you. And so the story of Zacchaeus. Anybody remember where that story was set? In Jericho. Okay. Daniel also read the story of blind Bartimaeus. Where was that story set? Also in Jericho. And the only other New Testament story I know about Jericho that came to mind immediately was the man who was traveling on the road between Jerusalem and Jericho. And so the Lord began to give me a whole lot of principles and pointers about people and reaching people. And so that's what I want to share with you today. So I've called my message the Jericho Connection, just for want of a better name. So that you can tie these things all together and remember in your mind Jericho Connection. And then the only other story I know in the Bible that got me thinking was the story of the walls of Jericho. I don't know any other Jericho stories. There probably are, but those are the four that came to mind. And so there they are. Zacchaeus, Bartimaeus, Good Samaritan, and the walls of Jericho. So let's have a look at Zacchaeus first. I'm not going to read the passage. Daniel read it to us last week. But, you know, God has an agenda for us daily, as he had for Jesus daily when Jesus was here. So let's look at some pointers in the story. So the example of Jesus, first of all, it says that he was passing through Jericho. Do you know where he was going to? He was on his way to Jerusalem, and it was his last trip to Jerusalem. And he'd been ministering in the area of Judea. And so he was passing through Jericho, and short little Zacchaeus, can't see anything, I can identify with that. I often can't see at the back of these big wedding photographs, you know, they take off the crowd. Stand on tiptoes if anybody wants to see my face. So I know all about Zacchaeus, and he was up this quite large, probably sycamore tree. I had a look at what it looked like on the internet, sycamore tree. And he wanted to see Jesus. And there were crowds all around him. And so there was lots happening as Jesus was passing through Jericho. But Jesus notices Zacchaeus. He's the only name who's mentioned, the only person that's mentioned in the story. He notices Zacchaeus, one individual. And what do we know about him? He was a sinner. We know that much. Certainly the other people thought he was a sinner because they grumbled about him. And he was a chief tax collector. Tax collectors in those days were known to extort money from people. And he was the chief tax collector. And he was hated by the people. He was probably considered maybe the worst person in town. But Jesus notices him. And often, Jesus wants us to notice people that we probably wouldn't necessarily expect to notice, who need ministry. And so of all people, it was Zacchaeus. Because Jesus saw what the crowd could not see. He saw what was inside Zacchaeus. It was an empty, unhappy heart, probably. If I was in his position, I would have felt like that. Possibly a hungry for love heart. Possibly a man desperate to change his predicament that he found himself in, but he didn't know how. He was labeled by the community. But he made an effort to see Jesus. And so notice the response that he received from Jesus, because Jesus' love touched his heart. Didn't actually only touch his heart, it went straight into his pocket. And he said, I'll give half my possessions to the poor. Bible says he was a rich man. And he said, if I've defrauded anybody, I'll repay. And that was the love of Jesus that did that. And immediately it had that effect on Zacchaeus. So what is the end result? Today salvation has come to your house. Isn't that a special story? Wonder how that day began. Zacchaeus waking up thinking, oh, another day. And then he hears that Jesus is coming. And so he climbs up the tree. Amazing how that day ended. I'm sure Zacchaeus never dreamt that. And that's what the difference can be to somebody's life. If you're obedient to the Lord. And you notice the person that he wants you to notice and ministers to them. And so what can we learn from the story? Well, there might be a Zacchaeus shopping in the spa next to you in the same aisle, and you notice them. There might be 10 other people in that aisle that you don't notice. But the Lord enables you to notice that person. That's happened to me in the spa before today. Or you might be sitting next to somebody at an event that the school's organized. At a sports event, and you've got time to talk. Cricket matches take forever. You've got lots of time to talk. Or maybe it will be somebody sitting across from you at your desk at work, and you just suddenly one day notice them. Or notice that it's the Lord getting your attention to that person. Or it might be somebody sitting next to you on the plane. That you might say, look, I don't want you to work on your computer now. Here's this person sitting next to you. And maybe then he'll show you what to do. If you've prayed, Lord, what's on your agenda for me today? What people do you want me to notice? You will start noticing them. And you'll be able, he'll show you how to show them love. It might only be a little thing like a smile. Have you ever noticed, if you smile at somebody who's not expecting it, how you get a smile back? I remember once when I was going through a particularly difficult time having to sell men's toiletries in a vac job in a big department store, Cleghorn's in Cape Town. And I hated it, every minute of it. And I couldn't sell the products because nobody wanted my products. They always wanted Old Spice, and I wasn't selling Old Spice. And I was miserable. Anyway, the one day I went up in the lift to the fifth floor to have our lunch where the staff had to have their lunch, and I was feeling awful. And this one lady got into the lift, and she smiled at me. And I can't tell you what it did to my day. I've remembered it to this day. One smile. And so sometimes that's all that God will ask you to do. Sometimes it's to show an interest in somebody's life. You know, everybody's interested in themselves. When you show an interest in somebody else's life and you ask, start asking them a few questions, it's amazing what will happen. Or maybe you remember from the last time you chatted to them and they come across your path again, oh, hello, are you, is this the next episode, Lord? How was your sick mother? She got better. That sort of personal interest, if you can remember those sorts of details and make a point of it. Conscious, intentional interest, take an interest in other people intentionally. It's amazing what can come out of it. And remember, it might be the very last person you expect to have an empty heart inside them, but God knows and He can see. And so you can show some love. Maybe you'll be the very first link or even the last link in the chain to their salvation. So that's Zacchaeus. Then the next story is the story of blind Bartimaeus. Again, the example of Jesus. He was, the Bible tells us he was on his way out of Jericho. And earlier in the same chapter, it tells us, as he was coming from in Judea, going back to Jerusalem, that he was telling his disciples how he was going to be delivered up in Jerusalem and condemned to die. That was the stuff that was right here in Jesus' face. And so it was huge stuff. And we all have stuff, all have emotional issues that are here, and we can't kind of see anything around them. But not Jesus. In the midst of all of this and being jostled by people, he hears something. He hears, Son of David, have mercy on me. And he stops. Because he hears somebody with a very, very big need. This man was blind. That was a very big need. And he can't resist a cry like that. And it might just be when you're in the middle of huge stuff that God will bring across your path a person with a very big need. Sometimes it actually helps you to face your own stuff to minister to somebody else who's got a big need. And so let's not let the stuff of our lives exclude people with needs. People who have needs are very receptive to the Lord. People who are dying are very receptive to the Lord when they've been anti-God their whole lives. And so people are receptive when they've got big needs. Those needs could be loneliness. Those needs could be ill health. Those needs could be financial needs and issues. Those needs could be family issues. Very big one. Lots of people have got huge family issues that they're holding inside themselves and nobody knows about them until you start chatting to them and showing interest in their lives. Or depression maybe. And sometimes those needs are very obvious because what the heart is full of, the mouth speaks. And you immediately get to know what a person's needs are. But sometimes they actually shout at you, they're so big. Like they shouted at Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Philip Yancey, if you know of him, he's a Christian author, very highly recommended Christian author. He's written a whole number of books. He's very real, and he writes very, very well. And he's written a book called Where is God When It Hurts? And there are a lot of people out there who have got such huge needs, and that what they're actually crying out is, God, where are you? Why are you absent? Why aren't you saying anything? Why are you so silent? This is so unfair. Why is it me? And that's what's on many people's hearts, especially at funerals maybe, of family members. Those are the issues that people are grappling with. And do you know what Philip Yancey said? He says, an equal question could be asked. Where is the church when it hurts? And that's I was so moved by that statement. Because we are God's hands and feet and ears and eyes to people. There's no other way other than some supernatural, divine kind of coincidence or sudden dream that people do get to know God like that. But mostly they get to know God because they can see Him in action through the lives of other Christians. And so those are some of the things. And so Jesus heals Bartimaeus' blindness, meets his greatest need. But what was the end result? That was not the end of the story. The Bible says he followed Jesus. And often when you meet people's needs, you know what they do? They can recognize the love of God in you and they end up eventually following Jesus because they've seen it in your life. So what can we learn from this story? We can learn from this story, show me today, a prayer you could pray every day. Show me today who you would like me to minister to. Make me aware of people's needs. Help me to have a listening ear. Help me to see people the way you do, Lord. Help me not to push away people with needs just because I'm so focused on myself. Right, next story. The traveler to Jericho. He was a very sorry sight. Not something we like to see. Beaten, stripped, half dead. There's a parable, it's not a true story, it's a parable that Jesus told. But in the story, do you remember who avoided him? It was the religious people who avoided him. It was the Levite and the priest. They were the temple workers. And maybe we could take a liberty here and extend it. Sometimes we can be so busy about doing God's work that we don't always attend to what really needs to be attended to, and that's a person with a very desperate need. So why did they avoid him? The Bible doesn't say why they avoided him, but possibly they didn't want to get their hands dirty. You know, you give somebody a finger and they take a whole arm. Maybe they felt they had more important work to do for God than listening to this, helping this man who was half dead. But just maybe they didn't want to make that extra effort, go the extra mile. And then there was the Samaritan. What do we know about him? The Bible tells us he felt compassion. And maybe you say, well, I'm not the compassionate type. I'm not the compassionate type either, but that's something I've prayed for almost all my Christian life since I married Rob and saw what compassion was. Okay, compassion is Christ-like. Being Christ-like, Jesus felt compassion. And who's living inside of you? Jesus is. And we need to reflect him. And the Bible says we have to put on compassion. Certainly we can pray, Lord, help me to feel the compassion and show me the appropriate action to follow the compassion. Because it's not just a feeling, it's like a doing feeling. All right, what you feel? Jesus felt compassion and so he taught. He felt compassion and so he fed. And in this story, the Good Samaritan felt compassion. So what did he do? He tended to the man's wounds. He took him and he paid for accommodation. And he came back and he says, if I owe you anything more, innkeeper, I'll bring it to you. What an extra mile that man went. He went more than an extra mile and he was a Samaritan. Let's not let the world show us up as Christians. Jesus commends such a person. Can he commend us? Can he commend me? Then the next slide is about Jericho. What do we know about Jericho? Well, one thing we definitely know about Jericho, it was a walled city. And some people are like walled cities, is what the Lord showed me out of the story. Maybe that's due to hurt, or maybe it's due to a bad church experience. And there are many people walking around with bad church experiences who say they will never darken the door of another church. And there are people, maybe it's somebody who's experienced real tragedy and they're walled up and they're not going to open to anybody or anything. And especially when it comes to the gospel. People blame God often for their circumstances. And now you come along as the Christian and you get rebuffed. People are actually intimidated by Christians often. And in the story of Jericho, Rahab told the two spies that the terror of the approaching Israelites had really fallen on the city. And people get intimidated by Christians sometimes. So what do we do? What can we do about people who've got walls around them and we're desperate to reach them for the Lord? We can pray. In 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4, it's quite a familiar verse, you probably know it, I'll read it. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. So we can pray about the walls in people's lives. Are we prepared to speak to God about people before we speak to people about God? We can listen to what God's strategy is for that specific person. He gave Joshua an amazing, totally unusual strategy for Jericho. But it's going to be a different strategy for the walled person that you meet. Maybe it will be take them a meal, or maybe it will be invite them to dinner, or maybe it will be meet a physical need first, or show an interest in their lives. It could be any one of those strategies. Missionaries, for example, enter countries not as missionaries, but as doctors and nurses. They meet physical needs, so they earn the right to speak about Christ because of their compassion and the love that they show. So listen to what God's strategy is for the person you're praying for. And then, of course, we need obedience. We can obey. Hearing the strategy is the first step, but obeying what God tells you to do is the next step. And that often involves timing. And sometimes we're impatient and we say things and we bash people over the head, which we shouldn't do with the Bible. We jump in our enthusiasm to share the word with them, and it's the wrong time. God has a time, and he'll show you the time. So, but let's not duff it by being disobedient. And then what did God say to Joshua? He said, Joshua, be strong and very courageous. And we need that strength from God, and we need that courage. People can be very intimidating sometimes. As much as you intimidate them, they intimidate you if they're strong and anti-God. And so we need courage. And then a last thought. Remember Rahab lived on the inside of Jerusalem, of Jericho, on the inside. And she helped the spies and how God used her. God is at work on the inside of people with walls around their lives. And we can't see what's happening, but he's at work inside. And I always remember an illustration that Rob once shared in church. And it was from John chapter 5, verse 17, where Jesus said, until now, my Father is working, and I myself am working. And he likened it to that tunnel on the N1 as you go through the mountains to Cape Town. They started at the one end of the tunnel, and the others started from the other side of the tunnel, and they met in the middle. And often that's what God does, and that's where timing is so important. You chipping away on the outside of someone through loving them and through taking an interest in their lives and spending time with them, but God is on the other side, chipping away, chipping away, chipping away, and there'll come a time when the two meet together in the middle. So let's ask God for courage. And so these four stories of Zacchaeus, Bartimaeus, the traveler to Jericho, and Jericho, the walled city, have all given us pointers. And you could find yourself in a number of places. I remember when I was in hospital 2 years ago with acute renal failure after dehydrating. There were people in my hospital ward, and it was an eye-opener to me to see the needs and feel the needs of people around me in this four-bedded hospital ward. I was there for 11 days, and there was a turnover of people. Three of those people passed away, one while I was there and two others in the next few months. And it was quite an eye-opener to me. But I realized that what was God's purpose, just to get me better? No, there was a people purpose there as well. And I was reading a psalm, which meant a lot to me, and I saw these two ladies who were in at the time, and I said, would you like me to read you the psalm and that I've been reading? They said, absolutely. And both of those two ladies passed away in the course of the next 3 months. And one was my age, had the same thing as me, in actual fact. And so there was a real need, a real need. And then that lady was moved out to intensive care, and the one older lady, she and I were on our own in the hospital ward. And she, every now and again, she used to get a bit confused. She was elderly, and they'd been talking about moving her out to ICU in Maritzburg because Howick Hospital didn't have an ICU for medical ward. And the next morning, she said to me something about going. And I said, what do you mean? What do you mean by going? Because I thought she was talking about going down to ICU, because they had spoken about it for an x-ray. And so she said, no, going home, dying. And she spoke to me about it, and it was such a marvelous opportunity. And then she went home, and then there's another lady came in, and she told me she was engaged, etc. And then she saw the wonderful people who came to visit me. I had such wonderful visitors, highlight, but the other highlight was ministering to the people. And so we got talking about marriage, and she said, I'm never going to get married. Well, she's engaged. So I said, why? You know, so she told. So I was able to give her all sorts of marriage pointers that she'd never heard of in her life, ever. And it was so, so, so special. And there was another young girl also who was in that I was able to minister to, just love and share, talk to. Because people are lonely when they're in hospital. Ask me about it. You lie there. You can't wait for visiting hours. And it's a very special place of ministry. So notice the people that God sends across your path. And so I've just got up on the screen a prayer that you could pray daily, something along these lines. Lord God, I want to be available to you today, to prioritize what is on your heart when it comes to people. Help me to notice people as I'm about my job, about my daily routine, during times of leisure even, and help me to make time for people in my busy day. Show me the people in whose hearts you're at work, the people who have needs and who will be receptive to you. Show me how I can help meet needs, how I can show love. Help me to feel compassion. In Jesus' name, amen. That's a prayer you can pray every day, words along those lines. So let's just close in prayer. Firstly, Father, we probably all, me, myself included, need to ask for forgiveness for times when we've been so focused on ourselves that we've let precious opportunities go past to show love to others. We pray that you would forgive us and cleanse us and help us to start anew from today, to have our eyes open to other people and to their needs, knowing that people are so very, very precious to you. Help us to, every day, think about what your agenda for us is for the day, not just what's in our diary, but the things you're going to do alongside that in people's lives. And Lord, for some of us, it might need to be a mindset shift. Maybe we've only lived for ourselves, but now we're hearing how we have to live for you and care about other people. I pray you will help us to make that mindset shift. And Lord, this is not just for people out there who don't know you, who are unchurched. This is for people in the church as well. People who need our love, people who need a smile, people who need a hug, where we need to be more focused on them than on us, as you were. And so thank you for your wonderful example, Jesus. And please, by your Spirit, will you lead us and will you strengthen us and give us courage and help us to serve you in this way. In Jesus' name, amen.